stand together and turn to page 260. Because he lives. Isn't that why we're gathered together? Amen. 260. All three stanzas. Singing together, God sent his son. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know. And life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy and greater still. The calm assurance this child can face a certain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day across that river I fight life's fight. No war with pain. Then this death gives way to victory. I see the light of glory, and I know he lives. He lives tomorrow. Fear is gone because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Go ahead, preacher.
Let's remain standing as we look to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings upon our service today. We've already had a wonderful service in our Sunday school here, and we are appreciating the ministry of Brother Lance with us, and we're looking forward to his message this morning from the Word of God. As we bow our heads in prayer, let's look to the Lord. Brother Fred, would you lead us, please, in prayer this morning?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace. We thank you for the glorious day that you've made for us, Lord. We pray, Lord, as we enter into your word, your service, Lord, as your Holy Spirit, Lord, as we fall upon us, Lord, richly, Lord, and that our thoughts will be obedient to you, Lord, today, Lord, as we hear your precious word. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And It's good to see you today. We're glad to have Mark and Sue back with us. Sue's been down for a few days here, getting all rested up. And now then, she's getting back to normal. If you don't believe it, ask Mark. He'll tell you. And Susie, do we have an update on our little boy in Arizona? He's hanging in there. All right. Keep little Miles in your prayers, if you will. God is still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We put him in God's hands. We're trusting the Lord to keep him. And you did a real good job on that song. I love that. We're going to have a Bible reading right now by Brother Roger. If you'll come on up here, please, sir. Share the Word of God with us.
Thank you. Good morning. I'd like to take a commercial while I'm up here, please. Men's chorus sing next week. I'm not going to tell you what song it is. You'll all know it, and it's a blessing. If you would like to follow with me in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I, brethren, when I come to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration in the spirit of the power and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into man's heart, the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God, who has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And may God add a blessing to his reading.
Turn to 273. Blessed Redeemer, up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walk Christ my Savior, weary and worn. 237. What did I say? I got your attention anyway, didn't I? 237. Sing together.
Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful day, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems how I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, dying for sinners, dying for me. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray, even flooding away, praying for sinners while in such woe. No one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems how I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying. Oh, how I love you, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Though years unnumbered on heaven's shore, no tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems how I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding for sin. Pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Could Johnny come up? Johnny got a song for me?
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. You know, I know there are some here whose hearts are troubled, minds are perplexed, things not going right for you. You may have problems at home, problems at work, and your heart is troubled by your unsaved loved ones. But I tell you this morning to look up. And that as the song is being sung, that you bow your heart before God. Amen. You cry out to him for mercy, and he will hear you because he is here. Please. I feel his presence throughout this place. And I know that there are angels hovering all around us for the presence of the Lord is in this place. For he is here, hallelujah, he is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy, I will bless his name again. For he is here, now listen closely, hear him calling out your name. For he is here, and you can touch him, and you will never be the same. Now this is what happened to me. I searched for peace among the shadows dark and lonely. I gave up on finding that long and lasting love. Now I tasted all that sin could ever think to offer me. Over the day I faced all the manner from above. For he is here,
hallelujah.
Oh, now he is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy, I will bless his name again. Oh, now he is here, now listen for me, hear him calling out for your name. All on you can touch him, and you will never be the same. For he is here. All on you can touch him, and you will never be the same. Just reach out this morning, I pray, and you'll never be the same. No, you won't. No, you won't, beloved. Praise God, you won't, because he loves you. Glory.
Turn to page 227, 227, down at the cross, receive the offering after this song. The ushers will come forward. 227, down at the cross.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to the heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, precious fountain to save from sin. I am so glad in it in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the bud applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast up a soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to the Lord was my blood applied. Glory to His name.
Brother Gene, would you lead us in our prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day you've given us to worship in your church and to have a minister here, Lord, that's a missionary, that's spreading the word throughout Brazil. I pray that you bless him and bless his family. Bless his ministry, Lord, that he'll continue to grow souls in heaven and keep them out of hell. And I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, will be a witness to those who come in contact with us and be a light into your eyes. Thank you for all you've done for us and our blessings. Bless our pastor, Lord. Please bless little Miles. We ask for a miracle. Keep them clean from cancer, Lord. Thank you for all you've done in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Good to have Lois and Brother Bryant with us this morning. They'll be ministering in Imperial Beach tonight, but that we'll pray for them. God will give them souls. Good to be here today. Glad to see each and every one of you present. And I want to invite you back at 6 o'clock this evening. Lord willing, I'll be in the pulpit here preaching about the church and Israel. The church and Israel. I believe that we're drawing nigh to the end, and we want to show what the Bible teaches about the future of both Israel and the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wednesday evening, we will continue our Bible study in the life of David. I invite you out at 6 o'clock for that service. And today it is our privilege to have with us Brother Jerry and his wife, who we got pretty well acquainted with in our Sunday school lesson this morning. We had a wonderful time, and he's going to come now, Brother Lance, and bring us a message.
I think it's necessary to introduce the remaining member of the family.
some of them already got acquainted with.
I'd like my wife to stand once again. My wife, Otta Liz, we've been married now for 12 years. I went to the mission field as a single missionary, but the Lord gave me a wonderful wife.
Yeah, you're the lucky one.
All right.
Well, they can let me do something?
Well, what do you want to do?
I want to lead singing.
No, you're not leading singing.
Then can I preach?
No, I'm preaching. Why would you want to preach or sing?
I've got to do something to impress these people.
Well, why would you need to impress them?
I need to raise support.
Why do you need to raise support?
Well, tell me. God called me to be a missionary. I need support.
Now, wait a minute. You, a missionary?
You're a missionary, aren't you?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
And now, wait a minute here. All right, look. On the pretext that God's called you to be a missionary, where has he called you to be a missionary to?
The jungles of Brazil.
Oh, the jungles of Brazil. I'm sure you'll meet a lot of your relatives there.
Yeah, and a lot of yours too.
Just what do you mean by that, Crack?
Well, at least when I walk, I don't drill my knuckles.
Are you trying to make a monkey out of me?
No, Charles Darwin Public Schools already did that.
DJ, I'm kind of shocked you saying that. I'm taken back. Tell you the truth, I just can't believe my ears.
Tell you the truth, I can't believe those ears either.
Now look, if you're going to go to the jungles of Brazil, I need to warn you about something.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
There are Indians there.
Oh, duh, I knew that.
Well, did you know that some of them are cannibals?
Hmm?
Cannibal.
Is that like a can of peas?
No. A cannibal is an Indian that eats people.
Eats people?
Uh-huh.
Then you better not go. Grandma said she spoiled you and you'd give them indigestion.
DJ! Now, really, do you know the least little thing about what it takes to be a missionary?
Not really.
Well, see there, I told you.
But I can always ask my uncle.
Your uncle? What's he got to do with it?
Well, my uncle's a missionary pilot once.
Your uncle was a missionary pilot once?
Yep, he sure was. Oh,
what do you mean once? You mean he isn't anymore?
No.
And why not?
Well, you see, his plane crashed.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, no, that's good.
Wait. What's good about his plane crashing?
Well, he jumped out before it crashed.
Well, that is good.
No, it's bad.
Bad?
Yeah, he jumped out without a parachute. Ooh.
That is bad.
Oh, no, that's good.
Well, wait a minute. What's good about jumping out of a plane without a parachute?
Well, there's a haystack underneath him.
Well, that is good.
Uh-uh. It's bad.
Bad?
Yeah, there's a pitchfork in a haystack.
Ooh, that is bad.
Oh, no, that's good.
Wait a minute. What's good about a pitchfork in a haystack?
Well, he missed the pitchfork.
Well, that is good.
No, it's bad.
Bad?
Yeah, he missed the haystack also.
Oh, DJ. That's the last straw.
Are you talking about my jokes?
Now, DJ, I need to explain about DJ. He's only a tool for presenting a gospel story. There's been over 650 kids saved using him. He's not a substitute for preaching. The only substitute for preaching is more preaching, because it's through the foolishness of the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, that men, women, and boys are saved.
Well, I still want to do something. You want to hear the song I just written?
Don't you mean written?
No, you haven't heard it yet.
Well, I'll let you do one verse. Is that enough?
Well, I guess so. Oh, give me a home where the missionaries roam and preach God's word all the day long, where the devil gets outraged at the souls that are saved, 'cause now to the Lord they belong. Home on on the mission field, where God's word still produces the yield, where lost people are found and are now heaven bound, cause Jesus is saving folks still.
All right, I'll let you go since we need to dedicate more time to the preaching of the word of God. If you would please this morning, please open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17. And I know many, many churches here in the United States do practice this custom, just as we do in Brazil. When you find your place, if you're able to, please stand out of respect to the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 17. If you found your place already, say amen. If you haven't, say have mercy. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Let's pray. Father, we come to thee now, thankful to be here in your house this morning, thankful for what we've heard and seen already today, for the fellowship we've experienced. Now, Father, we ask that you bless this hour, the time of the preaching. We ask that you give the Holy Spirit liberty to touch hearts and to work in our hearts. Father, I ask for power of the Holy Spirit to preach, for I have no power in myself. But, Father, I ask you also to hide me behind the cross of Christ. I don't want to be seen. It's Jesus we want to magnify. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, they say that the eyes are the window to the soul. Well, if that be true, then what is the heart? For some, the heart is the window to the very essence of a person. And why might that be? Well, the heart is considered, at least in our culture, to be the center of emotions. Now, if you travel around the world and look what the center of emotions in other parts of the world would be, in some places, it's the liver. In other places, it's the kidneys. In the Old Testament, it was the bowels. But for us, the heart is the center of our emotions. For example, we give our heart to someone. We love someone with all our hearts. Our heart can be broken or hurt by someone. There have been songs that have been written about the heart. Now let's take some of those songs for a minute and substitute some other centers of emotions, and we might have titles like, I Left My Kidneys in San Francisco. Or how about this one? You Make My Liver Quiver. I don't even want to try one with the bowels. But think about it a minute. It's a fact that like joy, a melody, joy is found in the heart. Even others may say that a small child can steal the heart of an adult. Now, let me ask you something here. Let's be honest. How many of you have grandkids that have you wrapped around their little finger? Let me see your hands. I thought so. Why? Because they take so big a part of your heart. You know, we even say that a person has a good heart, or we ask or say, what does your heart tell you? You know, it's interesting to note that the word heart is found over 821 times in the Bible, so it must be of importance. You know, everything in the Word of God is important. If God had said it once, it's important. If he repeats himself, we need to take note. But if he repeats time after time after time again, I think that's a good solid sign that it is up there in importance to our Lord. Well, let's just think for a moment. If it were possible for a person to actually look into their own heart and see what is actually there, what would they see? Now, I'm not, you know, thinking about, you know, with a microscope or something like that, seeing the bowels and the blood, but what would they see in a person's heart? Especially, what if someone else might be able to look into your heart, what would they see? especially those of us who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what would we see? Think for a moment. What would be seen, or even more important, what is it that should be seen? I'm reminded of a story about a small boy was going to the hospital for heart surgery. Tomorrow morning, the surgery began. I'll open up your heart. You'll find Jesus there, the boy interrupted. The surgeon looked up annoyed. I'll cut your heart open, he continued, to see how much damage has been done.
But when you open my heart, you'll find Jesus in there, said the boy.
The surgeon looked to the parents, who sat quietly. When I see how much damage has been done, I'll sew your heart and chest back up, and I'll plan what to do next.
But you'll find Jesus in my heart. The Bible says he lives there. The hymns all say he lives there. You'll find him in my heart.
Well, the surgeon had had enough. I'll tell you what I'll find in your heart. I'll find damaged muscle, low blood supply, and weakened vessels. And I'll find out if I can make you well.
You'll find Jesus there too. He lives there.
That's all the surgeon could take. He got up and left. Well, the next day the surgery was performed, and after the surgery, the surgeon sat in his office recording the notes from the surgery. Damaged aorta, damaged pulmonary vein, widespread muscle degeneration, no hope for transplant, no hope for cure, therapy, painkillers and bed rest, prognosis, and here he paused, death within 1 year. He stopped a quarter, but there was more to be said.
Why? He asked aloud. Why'd you do this? You put him here. You put him in this pan, and you've cursed him to an early death. Why?
But the Lord answered and said, the boy, my lamb, was not meant for your flock for long, for he is part of my flock and will forever be. Here in my flock, he will feel no pain, and, well, he will be comforted as you can never imagine. His parents will one day join him here, and they will know peace, and my flock will continue to grow. Well, the surgeon's tears were hot, but his anger was even hotter.
You created that boy. You created that heart, and he'll be dead in months. Why?
But once again, the Lord answered, the boy, my lamb, shall return to my flock, for he has done his duty. I did not put my lamb with your flock to lose him, but to retrieve another lost lamb. And with this, the surgeon wept. The next morning, the surgeon sat beside the boy's bed, and the boy's parents sat across from him, and the boy awoke and whispered,
did you cut open my heart?
Yes, said the surgeon.
What'd you find?
Asked the boy. I found Jesus there, said the surgeon. So let me ask once again, but this time maybe just a little different. When someone or when anyone takes a look into the heart of any one of us here, what is it that they will find? The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So maybe just a quick look at the heart in general and just what the heart is capable of doing can cause us to know our own heart just a little better and to help us to realize what we really are or lack in being in regards to what God desires for us to be. First off, the heart is a good indicator of what we are, of how we think. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And it's a good indication of whether it's for good or for evil. Matthew 15:19, we read, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Boy, that's a really nice laundry list for us, isn't it? But that's what's in our heart. The natural man, that's in our heart. And still permeates in our hearts, even though we're saved. Well, it's an indication of what's important to us. Matthew 6:21, "For where your heart is," or "where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If the word of God is or isn't important to us, consider the two men on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, verse 32. "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" In Brazil, we like to quote Psalms 119, verse 11. Escondi a tua palavra no meu coração para eu não pecar contra ti. Or, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." The heart reveals our true nature. Go back to Jeremiah 17, but verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And yet the heart plans our path in life. Proverbs 16:9, "A man's heart devises his ways, but the Lord directeth his steps." Now the heart is the center of our being, our very emotion, because boy, both joy and thankfulness have their origin in the place of the heart. You know, when you have your little children and when they were opening their Christmas presents from grandma and grandpa, aunt and uncle, and they're there and he says, "What do you say?" He says, "Mine." No, you're supposed to say thank you. You have to encourage them to say thank from the heart. And knows us thankfulness. We have so much to be thankful for. Well, think of Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. But the heart contains our intentions. Proverbs 19:21, "There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." You know, we say about things being premeditated. And this is a good indication if we're going to be obedient or not to the Lord's commands. Now, thirdly, the heart is a place of habitation for Christ in his believers. You know, we ask Lord Jesus Christ in our heart, believing that God has saved him, had raised him from the dead, you know, when we were saved. But still another important question for us to consider is this. Is Jesus the owner of our heart or just a house guest? Now, how many have ever rented a house before in your life or rented an apartment? All right. How many own your own home? All right. Have you noticed the big difference between the two? When you rent, you got to get permission to do everything. Put in a ceiling fan or change a light fixture, change the locks, this, that, because you have to have permission from the owner. But if you own your house, you can do this. You can go over and kick your foot through the wall, putting a hole in the wall, and the only one you have to answer to is to your wife. And to the doctor who puts the cast on your foot. Why? Because it's yours. You bought it. You paid for it. Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." As such, we have been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and we are no longer our own. So let me ask once again, is Jesus the owner and master of your heart or just an occupant whose presence is tolerated? You know, there are things that we are encouraged to do with the heart. Love the Lord with all thy heart. Deuteronomy 6:5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thy might." But what's it mean to love with all your heart? How many of y'all like potato chips? You like potato chips? You know, we open that bag, we start with the big ones, maybe have some dip to the side, we eat the big ones, then we get those small ones, and then there's those crumbs. How many of y'all, when you get to the bottom of the bag, do this? Y'all do that? How many do that? You know, y'all do that? You know, I got a friend, he goes one step further. He carefully opens the seams the rest of the way. He takes the bag and then does this. That's loving potato chips. Why don't we love the Lord like that? Think about it. That's what it means to love with all their heart, soul, and mind, and strength. God deserves our love at that level, as a minimum. Well, 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteous faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And I said, well, that's for kids and teenagers. No, it's for everybody, because I've yet to find anyone who's caught up with Methuselah. Next to him, you're just a kid, so it still applies. It's a good list of things to do. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lead not unto thy own understandings, Proverbs 3:5. We're to be obedient from the heart, Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You know, we recently had an election. Got some new politicians who will be going to Washington. Some that are still the same. And each time there's a presidential election, the new president always goes up, I'm going to have the most transparent administration. Yeah, it's about as transparent as foggy glass in a fog. Our heart needs to be an open book for God. Hey, you got to remember, God looks the heart. He sees what's there, whether we try to hide it or not. Psalms 139, 23, 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. But there's one thing we often forget to do. How many already thanked the Lord today that you're saved? Now, how many rejoiced in that salvation? Ooh. That's something different. That goes a little bit further, doesn't it? We rejoice in a lot of things, but do we really rejoice in our salvation? We fall short on that. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, but did you rejoice in it? Psalms 13:5, but I have trust in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. So therefore, as born-again believers, what are the qualities that our hearts should demonstrate and have? First off, we need a heart of compassion. Full of compassion. Brazil has an expression, o que os olhos não veem, o coração não sente. What the eyes do not see, the heart does not feel. You know, you have these ministries here that go on TV, feed the children, adopt this child. They get the worst looking kid and the poorest situation and the scraggliest clothes. What? To pull at your heartstring. But the thing is, Mark 6:34, Jesus saw a great multitude and had compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And when we see the multitudes all around us here in the United States, especially here in Chula Vista, what do we feel? What do these feelings provoke us to do? And how do we see these people? Do we see them as a lost soul or just another statistic? When Jesus saw the people, he had compassion for them. He reacted and did something. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. Jesus never refused to do something. And someone said, now wait a minute, Pastor, you're forgetting about Matthew chapter 15. Remember that Syrophoenician woman who had that daughter that was demon-possessed, and she came to him for help, and boy, he was just nasty to her, you know, in today's political correct language. He was guilty of hate speech. Well, think about what he said to her. When she asked, you know, to heal her daughter, you know, to cast out the demon, he said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now, with your political correct, he'd been found guilty of hate speech. Think about it. But it didn't offend her. She knew that the Jews spoke that way to the Gentiles. But she had great faith. And because of her faith, look what she said in return. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And for that, that demon was long gone. The daughter was healed. To have true compassion means to see the need and then react. We need a broken heart. A broken heart is necessary if you want to be close to God. Psalms 34:18 says, "The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Now the Apostle John in John chapter 3, we all know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." But what about verse 18? "He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is already condemned." Amen. You know, we're looking at people, well, they're going to stand before the great white throne judgment, be judged. No! They've already been judged and found guilty, and they're already condemned. They're just awaiting the execution of sentence. They're already on death row. And the only way they can escape like we escaped is a pardon from God the Father through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And this should break our hearts. And to see, we see the lost as being condemned and in the future burning in eternity in hell, separated from God, our hearts will never be broken as they should. We need a willing heart. I said something earlier today that God is not interested in who we are or what we are, but what he can make us to be. God is not interested in what we think we can do or what we're willing to do, but what we are willing to let him make us capable of doing for his honor and glory. We need a willing heart. When we see something that needs to be done, to just do it without waiting to be asked, without asking the cost or without asking how you'll be compensated. You know, if there's a light bulb in here that's burnt out, instead of tracking down past, "Pastor, there's a light bulb in the auditorium that's burnt out. There's a light bulb in the sanctuary. Oh, the bathroom's out of paper towels or other things." I said, "Well, you know where they are. Just go get them, put them in there. You know? Go get a light bulb, you know. Don't wait till someone's here to see you doing it, because then you already have your reward. God who sees in secret will reward in secret." Well, we need sacrificial heart. Putting others first. What are we willing to sacrifice for our Lord? Our time, money, possessions, comfort, or how about our convenience? In truth, what occupies the most important place in our lives? Because, you know, we need to remember that it's not about us, but all about Christ and winning souls for him. So as such, in closing, maybe our closing prayer should be Psalms 51, verses 10 through 13. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if the musicians would come at this time, we'll have an invitation. But if we could, I'd like for each and every one of us to do a little bit of a heart surgery today on ourselves. To look down deep in our own heart and see what it is there. What others would see if they looked into our heart. And as you're doing this little bit of heart surgery on yourself, as you look down deep in your own heart, if the first thing you see is not Jesus Christ, then you need to get saved today. You need to accept him as personal Savior. But if he's there, then look a little bit beyond, and maybe there's something there that ought not to be there. Maybe there's some anger, a grudge that's been held for years, someone did you wrong and it's not been made right, or maybe you did someone wrong and didn't make it right. How can we have a right relationship with God if our relationship with others isn't right? Bad feelings or, well, preacher, you don't know what they said to me or did to me. Well, I don't know what you said or did to them either that may have provoked it. Get over it. Maybe there's one here, but with an uplifted hand, say, preacher, as I look into my heart, there's things that should not be there. Things I've been holding there. Preacher, will you pray with me that God would remove the things that should not be there? Is there one with the uplifted hand? Say, preacher, pray with me. Yes. I don't want those things there. It hinders my relationship with Jesus Christ. But then the other side of the coin, maybe there's some things that God desires us to have there that's not there. Preacher, I got lost loved ones. I really haven't been witnessing to them and praying for them like I should. Here's my friend down the street. I've never shared with her about Jesus Christ. My colleague at work or at the seniors citizen center, the cashier at the bank or the supermarket. I don't know where they're going to spend eternity because I've never asked. Lord, place a burden in my heart for that soul to find out before it's eternally too late. Here's one here said, Lord, give me what I need to have in my heart. Place there what you want to have there. It's one that would lift their hands and say, preacher, will you pray with me that the Lord would place in my heart what needs to be there? Let's stand as we have a hymn, a verse of invitation. If God has spoken
stand
in your
together.
Heart,
495.
There's an old-fashioned altar or there where you are. Just pray and ask God, take away what shouldn't be there, put in there what should be, and make my heart what you desire it to be.
The Savior is ready to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is the answer to you? Time after time he waited before, and now come in.
We appreciate that message. God spoke to hearts through his word, through his messenger. And I hope you have a wonderful afternoon. Come back and see us tonight at 6 o'clock when we meet together again, okay? Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's what the Lord's looking for. That's what he's seeking. Brother Sam, will you lead us, please, in our benediction this morning?
Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this message to our hearts, Lord, and the working of your Holy Spirit.